This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 101, just like the Dalmatians, of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And that's it. It's just the two of us. It's a very special Adam and Diane episode for you guys. So to kick it off, Diane's going to give us our news.
All right. The 2013 American Music Awards aired on November 24th. Taylor won four awards. She won Favorite Album for Country, Favorite Female Artist for Country and for Pop Rock, and she also won Artist of the Year. This was the third time that Taylor Swift won the AMA for Artist of the Year, which is a record. It was also Taylor's 14th American Music Award. So congratulations to you, Taylor.
Oh, she missed the lucky 13. She got 14 awards with the four from tonight.
Well, I mean, there was a while when she did have 13 awards, but I don't think she's complaining.
No. She would have had 10 and then four tonight.
No, I mean, once she won three tonight.
Oh, so before they announced Artist of the Year. So yeah. She had 13 AMAs for like a few minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works, Diane?
Yeah, just for that brief time.
Yeah, so what did you think of her speech tonight relative to the Pinnacle Award speech?
I mean, I like that she focused it on the fans, because
Well, this was fan voted.
Yeah, which, I mean, makes perfect sense. But, like, as a fan of Taylor, I guess I always enjoy it when she calls us out. Like, obviously, I'm not gonna complain.
When she calls you out, when she's like, I want to thank Diane for this award because I know she voted for me.
Well, no, because she didn't say that. But I mean, like, calls us out as a fan community is just, like, really awesome and really sweet and, like, makes my heart warm. So I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the news, Diane. I know it was just one brief news item there. Coming up in the calendar, on November 26th, Taylor Swift will be performing for the royal family at the Centrepoint Winter Whites Gala at Kensington Palace in London, UK. The gala is being held to support homeless youth, so that's very nice of her to do. And then on December 1st, the 2013 ARIA Awards will take place, and Taylor is nominated for Best International Artist. However, it doesn't look like she'll be attending the awards, as she has her concert in Auckland, New Zealand that same night. But who knows? Maybe she'll accept the award through a video if she has time. I don't know. That would be cool. But voting is now closed, so we hope all of you Aussie fans got your votes in to help Taylor bring home the award. Was my Aussie accent okay there?
I mean, as an American, I was pretty impressed, but
I know. I'm about to get, like, a whole bunch of listeners from Australia, like, emailing me in. That was terrible! How could you butcher it so badly?
Or maybe not. Maybe they'll be nice.
Okay. And speaking of the Red Tour starting back up again, we got something fun for you guys. Sammy from T-Swift on Tour is going to be back doing our updates with the Red Tour, so let's hear from Sammy briefly. Sammy?
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIam1331 from T-Swift on Tour. The Red Tour starts up again in 1 week on November 29th in Auckland, New Zealand. We will be back with our weekly Red Tour wrap-up segments here on Taylor Talk. We can't wait to see if Taylor changes up the set list and what the secret songs will be. As always, please check out our social media sites for more Taylor updates. Bye guys, see you next week.
Awesome, thank you for that, Sammy. We look forward to hearing again from you now that the Red Tour will be starting up again. So for our main discussion this episode, we wanted to talk about Taylor's latest New York Magazine interview. Now, the issue is dated November 25th issue, which is today. However, because it's a magazine and they always hit shelves early, of course we've seen the article and it's been published online, so that doesn't hurt. So we got a hold of the article and we're going to chit-chat about it. Something kind of interesting, though, before we get into the main, like, talking about it, is the fact that it mentions in there that Taylor has had 31 top 40 country singles, including 13 number ones.
Oh, there's a lot of ones and threes in there that make 13.
13s and 31. 31 is just 13 backwards. It totally counts, according to Taylor.
Isn't that weird how that happens? Like, the number 13 really does seem to follow her.
It does. And you know what? 13 is not just her lucky number. It's a lot of people's lucky numbers. That's why I don't understand the whole unlucky concept.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Do you know what's kind of fun is before the launch of Taylor Talk, when I was running the fan site, taylorswift13.org, which has since been shut down, I actually had an entire page dedicated to number 13. I had all kinds of superstitions on why it's lucky and why it's unlucky.
Really?
There's a lot of interesting information out there on it. So if anyone's ever curious to look that up, there really is quite a bit of information on the number 13.
Does that page still exist, even though the website is now taylortalk.org?
That's a good question.
I'll research that, and if it does still exist, I will put it in the guide for this episode.
Yeah, so taylortalk.org/episode101 will potentially have a link if you're curious to know all about the number 13. But we're totally off topic right now, so let's kind of get to the article. Now, this article, something I loved about it, and also something that made this discussion really difficult, is it was really, really long and very in-depth. So there's a lot to talk about. We tried our best to break it down into sections. But like I said, it was a very deep article, a lot of brand new information in there. And something I thought was kind of cool was actually how it opened up. It opened up, at least I think it was the opening, maybe it was the middle of the article. It all blended together for me. But she was talking about, or the writer was talking about, how Taylor supports Nashville and Nashville supports Taylor. And I thought it was like a very interesting way to kind of bring readers in.
I think that was near towards the middle of the article. But yeah, that was a very interesting point. Like how her and the city almost worked together to promote music. Like it was just like a great tie-in, I guess, that only an author would think of.
Well, it gives a lot of insight, I think, into the workings of Nashville, because Nashville has a totally different vibe than a lot of other entertainment cultures, because as it's been widely talked about, you know, a lot of these country stars like Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, all these other people that can just walk around Nashville and not be bothered, where if you go somewhere like L.A., where a lot of movie stars live, that's not the case. They got paparazzi all over the place. And so it really, you know, that scratches the surface. And then this article really kind of dives deep into Taylor and how she has almost like a familial, like, is that a word or did I make that up?
No, that's definitely a
like
word.
A familial,
like a family relationship. With
relationship with not just the city, but like with the radio stations there, how she supports them and they support her and just things like that. And it was just very cool to get a little more on that, where she's touched on it before and we really haven't seen that depth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Okay. So another thing in the article that was kind of touched on is the genre. What genre is Taylor Swift? Now, we dedicated an entire episode to, is Taylor country or is she pop? That was even the title of the episode, for that matter. And we kind of thought she was a little bit of both. We just called her genre Taylor Swift. We said she made up her own, I think, was our conclusion. But Taylor said in this article, or rather the article said about Taylor, if you ask Swift to reconcile her musical impulses, she gives an answer that has virtue of being both true and politically savvy boilerplate.
Did you burp in the middle of saying that word?
No, I didn't. That was just a really difficult word, boilerplate. Taylor said, I love country and I love pop. I love them both. So that was really unique to me in the sense that, as far as I know, that was the first time Taylor herself has ever really acknowledged that she is both country and pop.
Yeah, that was interesting. And it was also an interesting response to me, too, as well, because she's always said, you know, she loves Nashville, she loves
country
music. Yeah, that genre. And this really was the first time where she acknowledged that, like, she has songs that have some pop-like, you know, qualities about them. And I think this goes back to the actual title of the article about how Taylor Swift is the reigning queen of pop, which was interesting. Because I don't think anyone has ever written something like this about her before, about her being like a pop queen.
Well, we did an episode about it, but
well, I mean, we talked about it. But yeah, it's just, it kind of just shows that, I don't know, Taylor is okay being in both genres, or kind of walking the line between both genres and just being her own genre, you know, like she's fine with both.
Right. Now, before I get hate mail trying to correct me on this one, I feel like Taylor has, in fact, alluded to the fact that her music is changing. I think that's what she has discussed in the past, but I don't know that she has ever distinctly said, I am country and pop.
No, I don't think she has either. Like, this is the first time she's ever been quoted as saying that.
Right. And that's kind of the point I was getting. I just don't want to get hate mail from people. There's some people out there that love to correct me, like, all the time.
Well, actually, you know what? If we look at this quote a different way, which, I mean, it's only, like, what, 7 words. But she said, I love country and I love pop. I love them both. She didn't necessarily identify herself with either genre. She just said, I loved it, and almost, like, skirted the question.
Right. Well, sometimes not answering is answering, though.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Sometimes getting beaten around the bush, it's kind of like when Taylor, somebody will ask, is this song about this person? And she'll give some sort of vague answer that, like, is saying yes, it is, or no, it isn't, without actually explicitly stating yes mm-hmm. or no.
Yeah, well, I think probably one of the reasons she does that is, like, she doesn't want to put herself in a box. Because
out of the box. Out of the box.
Wow, that was, like, way back from my childhood. but, yeah, I don't think she wants to put herself in a box, because once you get in that box, it's hard to get out of. So I think it's just easier and more free for her to just not define herself, because then she's got room to grow and change and whatever she wants, and she doesn't have to, like, answer to past statements.
Precisely. Because yes. People will call her out on that stuff. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, but you said blah, 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 blah. And she'll be like, I don't remember that. I've given about a million interviews since I started doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking towards her future, she did talk about the future a little bit. There's a quote in there. When I'm 40 and nobody wants to see me in a sparkly dress anymore, which personally I have no idea when anybody would ever not want to see her in a sparkly dress. But anyway, I'll continue the quote. I'll be like, cool, I'll just go to the studio and write songs for kids. It's like a good pension plan.
That was kind of cute.
It is, and I like that she's thinking about her future, but I think she worries too much sometimes.
Well, I don't know if this is necessarily worrying. I mean, she's just being smart. Like, she must know, and I don't want to say that there will ever be a time that Taylor Swift won't be famous. I mean, she'll still be famous, but, like, she won't be as prominent in the, you know, like, the like, music scene.
Will you still record Taylor Talk when that happens?
Oh, God. Hopefully if we have something to talk about. But I don't think it's necessarily something she's worrying about. It's just something that she realizes, like, she has to think about this.
Well, I think she has this, like, self-conscious sort of feeling where she's like, there's going to be a day when people don't like me. And I don't think that's the case. Like, I don't think she'll ever have to go behind the scenes, because I think she's going to fall into that category of great artists who really continue their career forever. And don't get me wrong, she's not going to be touring every 2 years and putting out an album every 2 years on this set schedule like she has now forever. However, there are just these iconic artists. You see, like, Paul McCartney, who's now, like, in his 70s, Billy Joel, and just these classic artists who still tour it because it's in their blood. They don't know any other lifestyle, and they do take breaks and they travel and they have families and things like that. But when it comes down to it, they can't give up performing.
Well, with Taylor, I think she loves performing too. But I think what she's always said is her number one love is writing songs. And I think this would almost fit in well, because if she writes songs for other people, she's still doing what she loves. But she can still have a life and have a family and, like, age gracefully, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and that theme, I feel like, has come up so often lately. You know, she said in another interview recently, I don't remember specifically which one, because as I alluded to earlier, she's done quite a few interviews.
She talks a lot.
She talks a lot. I think she talks even more than us, and that's saying something. So she said something about how she hopes that she can age gracefully and things like that. And even in this article, again, if I carry on to another quote that I pulled out of here, she said, I worry about everything. Some days I wake up in a mindset of, like, okay, it's been a good run. By afternoon, I could have change of mood and feel like anything is possible, and I can't wait to make this kind of music I've never made before. And then by evening, I could be terrified by the whole thing again. And then at night, I'll write a song before bed. So she's so, like, up and back on that. She's like, okay, I'm done. Oh, wait a second. No, I'm inspired again. No, I'm done. No, I'm writing a song right now. And
so you're saying, like, she's bipolar or something?
No, I'm not saying she's bipolar. I'm just saying that she, like, kind of worries. And what this quote actually reminded me of, because she said, I worry about everything, and okay, it's been a good run. This actually kind of, I guess it doesn't totally solidify the theory, but it does kind of provide backing to my theory that the lucky one is just about her own hopes and fears, and hopes for the future and fears of what's going to happen with her career.
I can definitely see that, especially the point when she says, some days I wake up in a mindset of like, okay, it's been a good run. Because to me, that almost sounds like she's ready to retire. But I mean, like, from what she said, like, that moment is short-lived. And then she's like, oh, it's okay, I'll keep doing this.
Yeah, it almost, actually, it's kind of funny because of this quote, the one I just read before about when I'm 40 and nobody wants me in a sparkly dress anymore, and then also the song The Lucky One. It kind of freaks me out. Like, what is Taylor, like, is she gonna, like, just retire on us out of nowhere? Like,
disappear, vanish.
She's gonna be like, all right, I put out my fifth album. See you guys later. Bye. It's been a good run. I'm choosing the Rose Garden over Madison Square.
Oh, I'd miss her so much if she did that.
But, you know, like she said, though, she thinks, you know, she seems to believe that when she's out of the spotlight, that she's still going to be a songwriter for younger artists, which, of course, that'll give us more material to talk about Taylor Talk with.
So we can still do Taylor Talk.
Yes, precisely.
The rest of our lives.
Oh, geez. That sounds like a lot of work.
I know.
So let's talk about her songwriting while we're at it. From the article, she said, I think that it's okay to be mad at someone who hurt you. This isn't about, like, the pageantry of trying to seem like nothing affects you. I'm a songwriter. Everything affects me. And this, to me, is, like, a precise example of what I was talking about, how this interview was a lot deeper. It's sort of, you know, it's not just talking about her personal experiences as a songwriter, but it's also talking about, you know, there's some very sort of anti-bullying sentiments in there, and also, like, feel good about yourself. Like, it's okay to feel bad. It goes back to her quote about, you know, don't compare my highlight reel to your behind the scenes.
And I love that quote.
Yeah? Why?
Because, like, I'm a girl like Taylor, and I have those moments where I'm, like, on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, my God, she's so pretty. I'm never going to be that pretty. And I feel bad. So, like, it just, I don't know, it resonates with me.
Right.
But that's a little bit off topic and, like, too personal.
Well, the point I was getting at, though, is that it does sort of give us more depth of where her songwriting inspiration comes from.
Yeah. And I also really like this quote because it just shows, like, she writes songs from such an honest and true place. Like, she's not trying to pretend to be anything she's not. She just writes from her own heart and her own, like, her own life experiences, you know, and she doesn't, like, I don't know, she's just honest.
Right, and, you know, one thing we were talking about earlier with the AMA speech is how in touch with her fans she is, and, you know, right alongside this quote I just read was when she said something about, I'm fine with being honest with my fans about the fact that it's okay that everything isn't okay all the time. And I think this goes back to what you were saying earlier about the AMAs, how she really wants to acknowledge her fans and relate to them on a very personal level. And I think that's why her fans love her so much.
Yep, she's definitely inspiring, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. Now, something kind of funny about the songwriting, well, I mean, sort of funny, is one of the most quoted quotes from this article all over social media is when Taylor says, I heard from the guy that most of Red is about. He was like, I just listened to the album, and that was a really bittersweet experience for me. It was like going through a photo album. That was nice of him. Or that was nice. nicer than, like, the ranting, crazy emails I got from this one dude. I want to see those emails.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
Oh, it would be so funny to see what those emails are about. But do you know what I actually first thought of when I read this quote? Because we are talking about her songwriting here, is in an episode not that long ago, we were talking about how we would picture music videos of songs that have not yet been made into music videos. And you, Diane, actually brought up All Too Well, and your sort of director's vision for that video was, you know where I'm going with this, was to see different scenes of her and that male character being happy, and she's almost on the outside looking in, no pun intended.
Oh gosh.
That actually wasn't deliberate, believe it or not.
That was perfect.
Yeah, so having her on the outside looking at those happy scenes, yet her being upset, and it was interesting because, I mean, clearly that was her intent, because we saw that song as being very visual and where you could picture those scenes. And obviously even the male character of that very song saw it the same way, because he's like, it's like going through a photo album.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because in All Too Well, she describes everything so vividly. And this person that she wrote about, like, he was there, so he knows precisely what she was talking about. And I think it would be very strange to listen to a song like that and think about, like, oh my gosh, like, I know exactly what she's talking about, and I was there, and I remember it all too well. You know, like, it's just, it would just be so, yeah, just such, like, a poignant experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking to the fifth album, bum, 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 Taylor did mention, or the article, rather, mentioned, Swift hopes to collaborate with new songwriters and producers, but she planned to begin, she said, by heading back to the studio with Max Martin and Shellback. I want to go in with Max and Johan first, just to figure out what the bone structure of this record is going to be. Now, that doesn't say a whole lot quite yet, and we have already speculated on the information we've had up to this point, but I think with every interview and every little new thing she says, it sort of hints just a little bit more towards what we can expect for the fifth album. And what I pull from this quote is the fact that she is looking to Max Martin and Shellback for the structure of the album, that this is going to be kind of a pop-focused album again.
I could see that. And I was a little bit surprised, I guess, originally when I heard that she was going to work with Max Martin and Johan Shellback again, because Taylor doesn't like to do the same thing twice. And I like, at first thought, like, oh, why is she doing that? Like, she already worked with them. Like, why is she repeating it? But I guess, like, with her, like, she knows what works and what works well. And they both have written, like, hits after hits after hits. That's just, like, what they do. They just pump out hits. So I'm sure she knows that if she goes back and write songs with them, that they're gonna be great and it will definitely help the album. I don't know necessarily, like, maybe they could be pop centered or pop themed, but
I see them sort of, you know, maybe because she's saying she wants to figure out what the bone structure of the record's going to be with them, that she's looking for some guidance from them to structure the album in a particular way. But it does also say she hopes to collaborate with new songwriters and producers. So I don't think, maybe she's going to be working with them in a different capacity. Maybe they're going to be helping her just structure an overall theme of the album. I know one of the things we came up with in that episode on What's the Fifth Album About is maybe she's doing a concept album. So maybe she's having them help her craft the overall story for the whole album, then having different songwriters in between help her write the individual songs.
That could be really cool. I like that.
It would be cool, wouldn't it, if it told one big story? I mean, Red kind of did. It was sort of one relationship beginning to end, but there were also other things mixed in there. I don't know if it quite qualifies as like a concept album the way, you know, a Beatles album might be.
Yeah, but it would just be cool to like have Max Martin and Johan Shellback, like, help her come up with the concept and almost be, like, a joint effort. I mean, obviously, Taylor would have the most input. Like, she might have, like, 90% of it, of course, because it's her. But
right,
it'd be
cool.
Well,
fortunately, everything she does, whether it's with them or not, does have a Taylor-esque sound to it. The article even alludes to that fact that the songs she did do with them, like 22, I Knew You Were Trouble, have some very Taylor-esque things that make those songs exclusive to her, where they can't be interchanged with another artist like so many of Martin and Shellback's songs are.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to be a Taylor album, no matter what it is. But we know it's going to be just a little bit different than anything she's done before.
Which is so vague, and I hate that. I hate that she won't tell us
anything. I know. I can't wait for more information.
Oh, that girl.
So, if anybody has any thoughts on that article, please feel free to send them in to us. Share your thoughts with us. We do sometimes do recaps if people provide some valuable nuggets of information. Yes, I said nuggets of information for us. We'll read them on the show and just do a little recap of previous topics.
Yeah, because, like, this article was so dense. It was like a novel. So, I'm sure there's, like, a million and one things that we missed. So, if you have thoughts, like, go ahead and share them, and it'll be interesting to hear.
Right. And if you haven't read it yet, head over to taylortalk.org/episode101. That's 101, just like the Dalmatians. Wah, wah, wah. I know the joke's only funny once. Sorry.
That's still funny. I made a joke that's still funny.
Yes. I finally did it. It happens all the time.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, definitely give this article a read because it's got information that we have never been exposed to before. The article interview was actually conducted from within Taylor's apartment. So the author makes some notes of things within her apartment that are really cool. And so if you have any interest, definitely go give it a read. But for now, we're going to carry on with our first mini segments of the episode.
This first one comes from Moises via Facebook, and they say, "Hello, guys. You know you're Swiftie when the name Taylor Swift is mentioned and everyone turns to look at you."
Yeah, that happens.
That happens to me, too.
Wait, where did you say that submission came from?
Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. We actually have a Facebook?
Yeah. Didn't you know that?
I did know that. We just get so few submissions through Facebook. But for those of you Twitter people out there, Facebook's a great way to submit things you can't in 140 characters.
That is a fair point.
So, facebook.com/TaylorTalk13. Subtle plug there. Only very obvious, so it's not that subtle. Next one came from Twitter, @CZT10CZT said, "If Swifties ruled the world, people would spend their free time baking and talking to cats."
I like the talking to cats part.
I like the baking part.
Oh, there we go. We're half of the Swifties.
Yeah, well, that's also nice. I appreciate you sending in "If Swifties Ruled the World," because most people do, you know, "You're Swiftie When," and "If Swifties Ruled the World" is actually how this segment got started in the first place, so it kind of takes us back to our roots, so thank you for that.
This next one comes from Sophie via email, and she says, "You know you're Swiftie when you use your brother's email to vote for Taylor Talk."
Oh.
That is so nice.
Thank you.
Of you and your brother.
And thank you, Mr. Sophie's brother.
Yeah.
That was nice of you. Next one was emailed in from RedTSwift13, who said, "You know you're Swiftie when your dad is talking about Robert Kennedy and you start singing Starlight and he goes, 'Darn it, I forgot she was connected to them too. Every bit of this story is true.'" Smiley face.
Did you just give her dad a southern accent the way you were like, "Darn it, I forgot"? That's what it sounded like to me.
It wasn't deliberate. I was just trying to do a voice.
Oh.
But that is interesting, though. Like, Taylor is connected to so many things.
The girl's all over the place.
All over.
This next one comes from Rebecca via text message, and she says, "If Swifties ruled the world, Taylor's unicorn shirt wouldn't say, 'Haters gonna hate.' It would say, 'Lover's gonna love.'"
Oh, lover's gonna love.
That sounds like a slow jazz song, doesn't it? Lover's gonna love.
You sound like one of those, like, late night love exactly. Radio station voices.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, well, somebody go make that shirt, and I'll wear it. Lover's gonna love shirt.
Okay.
For sure. And, of course, the last one here is gonna be a voicemail from Pierce. Pierce, take it away.
Hey, Taylor Talk, it's Pierce. I have a You Know You're Swiftie When submission. You know you're Swiftie When a guy who is standing with his girlfriend at the Red concert, who is standing beside you, switches places with his girlfriend after a couple songs, because you were screaming so loud, and it was bugging him, apparently. All right, thanks, bye.
Oh, my gosh.
How loud were you?
That's how you know you're, like, doing it right at a Taylor concert.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Now, I was actually the annoying person. This was a funny story. So in Nashville at the final show, I was sitting all by myself. I just had a single ticket. It was just me, myself, and
poor baby.
Oh, I know. Oh, I was at a Taylor concert. Don't feel bad for me.
That's true. When you're at one of those concerts, you're surrounded by friends.
But anyway, the point I'm getting to is I got seated next to four, like, young girls. I mean, I think they told me they were, like, I think the youngest was, like, 8 and the oldest was, like, 11. There were a couple sisters and a couple friends and whatever, right? And I was the one freaking them out by screaming and jumping around and everything, which is pretty funny. They were just like, oh, my God. There's this, like, grown man next to us freaking out.
He's psycho.
He is. So thank you to everybody who sent in those submissions. Thank you, Pierce, for the voicemail. We do love voicemails, getting to hear from you guys. You hear us talk a lot, and we like to hear from you on occasion as well. Now, what are Swifties listening to? There wasn't really a specific submission for this, but RedTSwift13 did email us telling us something that is very exciting, and that is that today, November 25th, 2013, Danielle Bradbury is releasing her self-titled album. It is now on iTunes stores. I did check that before we started recording. And if you haven't heard of her, she is part of the Big Machine family. So definitely go check her out if you're not familiar with her already. Her album came out today. That is Danielle Bradbury. Go check her out, peeps. And then, of course, before we go, one more shout out that I forgot because, well, I didn't really forget. It came in after we recorded, like literally just after recorded last week. And that is at Swear on Swift, who voted for us in the podcast awards. So thank you for that vote. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. That was really nice.
You said that so like,
that was very nice. Well, it's very nice.
It was.
I'm being honest.
Now, if any of you want to submit content for future episodes, remember there are a multitude of ways you can do so. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us.
You think you said that like loud
Facebook
enough?
Facebook us to facebook.com/taylortalk13. Or you could, I lost my train of thought. What was after Facebook?
I don't know.
Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. All three of those. Now, for our midweek episode, which will be coming up in just a couple days, you can ask us a question about absolutely anything Taylor-related, and we will do our best to answer it. Go to ask.fm/TaylorTalk13, ask us a question. It might make it onto the midweek episode. Of course, U.S. and Canadian listeners can leave us a voicemail or a text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. That's 240-31-SWIFT. 31 is 13 backwards.
Oh.
That's where I got that from, in case you were wondering.
Oh.
And of course, if you're anywhere else in the world, visit taylortalk.org. There's a button on the side that says send voicemail. You can click on that. Just record us a voicemail directly on the website. It comes straight to our email, and we can include that in a future episode. So thank you to everyone who has submitted in the past and who will submit in the future. But I think that just about wraps it up.
No, it doesn't, because I have one more thing. Are you scared now?
Yeah, I have no idea what this is. You're kind of freaking
me
out.
So, my friend Evan Holmquist likes to send me Stump the Host questions.
Another
for Adam.
One?
So, I have one for you.
Another one?
Yeah, it's another question.
Oh, geez.
Are you ready?
Last time he asked me one, I didn't get it, but that was unfair because it was something like, how many awards does Taylor have? And nobody
well,
actually knows that.
Well, this one is actually a question that, like, some people in the world know. So, what is the secret message to the song Cold as You?
Burr, I'm freezing.
No. The secret message is time to let go.
Okay, how was I supposed to know that? I don't have all the secret messages memorized.
Some people do. I know a lot of them. I actually didn't know that one. So Evan was able to teach that one to me. But yeah, that's the answer.
Well, thanks for stumping both of us, Evan. And that actually reminds me, that's a segment we haven't done in a very long time. If you have a question that you want to try to stump our hosts with, email taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. Now, it's very important you email it because only I can check that email and our hosts here will not see the question ahead of time. If you tweet it to us, they can all see it and it kind of defeats the purpose of trying to stump them. So email it taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. See if you know some trivia that our hosts don't.
Apparently, Adam is very easy to stump.
Now can I close out the episode? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I don't have anything else to say.
All right. For episode 101, as I said earlier, just like the Dalmatians.
We only have two Dalmatians tonight. Me and you.
I don't have any spots, though.
Well, that's good. That's good.
All right. So for episode 101, if you've made it this far in the episode through mine and Diane's ramblings, we really appreciate it and we love you for doing it. But it's time to say goodbye. So this has been Adam.
And I'm Diane.
Saying have a great day, guys. We will see you in just a couple days for our midweek episode. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.